Hello and welcome to a new season of Masala Zindabad. This is Amrita.
This is Beth.
And I am so excited that we are back.
It's been an extremely long, kind of unmeasurable amount of time.
Yes. We didn't expect to be away this long, but it just turned out that way because we became super busy, very important people.
On completely different continents, which does not help.
Yeah, but we are back, and we are back today with a movie that we love. It's very masala-tastic. It's 1971's Sharmeeli, starring our wonderful, wonderful Shashi and Rocky. Beth, do you want to give everyone a little plot summary?
Yeah, and I'll try to do this as fast as I can. Basically, there is an army captain, Shashi, who falls in love with the bold and brash twin of a pair of twin sisters played by Rocky. And there's also a pathologically shy sister who is in love with the army captain. And this being, you know, this is a nice sort of cusp of 70s masala movie because all sorts of crazy stuff happens that scrambles around the love triangle and other Ranjit is there as a, you know, gross, disgusting bad guy. There's a murder. There are snowball fights. There are well-intended parents who screw things up. There's a really nice father figure, a priest played by, who is that? Is that Nasir Hussain?
Yes.
Yes, and he's great. And beautiful songs and beautiful settings and a big web of, you know, what is this movie about, lessons that we will talk about.
So one of the reasons why we chose Sharmeeli to talk about today is because our new season is about comfort movies. These are the movies that we love and we've watched a million times. And Sharmeeli is one of them in a big way. So we've seen this movie on our own. We've seen this together. Why do you think we keep coming back to this one, Beth?
I think there's a couple of big reasons off the top. First, it's beautiful to look at and it's beautiful to listen to. The songs are gorgeous. The settings are gorgeous. The stars are gorgeous. but then it's got this utterly fantastically complicated plot that is, I think, saying a whole bunch of different things about the complexity of modern society. And every time I try to watch this, I find something new in it that I haven't seen before, including today. I just saw one of the songs on YouTube that I swear is a different version than in the movie with different stuff happening in it. So it's a remarkably complicated film in a very compelling way for me. How about for you?
So I think one of the things that I really look forward to in a comfort movie is stakes that are really high for the characters, but not for me personally. Like there's nothing, like there's not lost with you beyond the parameters of this film. So, you know, you feel bad for Rocky's Bechari character, whose name is Kanchan, by the way. So the good twin is Kanchan, the bad twin is Kamini. Kamini the Kamini. You feel bad for Kanchan, you're interested in Kamini, but this is not a movie that you like wake up in the middle of the night sobbing about. Like, this is not one of those movies. And like Beth said, it's really pretty and the songs are really nice and it's Rocky and Shashi at the peak of their prettiness. And you can basically, like, if you've seen this movie once, you can basically pick it up in the middle and know exactly where you are in the world of this movie. And it doesn't bore you. So, so I guess that's why I keep going back to Sharmeeli. Like, if I have, I don't know, an hour or so and I want to watch something and I know my favorite bits in the movie now, I can just go back and just watch this. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if I watch just, like 5 minutes in the beginning and then, like, half an hour in the middle and then chop it up. Like, it's fine.
It does not suffer at all from Curse of the Second Half. It keeps going strong all the way through. So if you do pick it up in the middle, it doesn't even really matter what part of the middle that you pick it up in. It's not like, oh, I missed the best part. No, because there isn't.
Yeah.
For me, there isn't a single best part because they're all good. And it, I don't think this movie is very predictable. So when if I do join it in the middle, which I have actually done because I encountered it on TV in India once, and just put down whatever I was doing and started to watch it in my hotel room. For me, it hooks me in instantly, and I'm absorbed, yeah, right back into the world of the movie trying to sort out.
Yeah, I would like to point out that when I said predictable, I didn't mean that the plot is predictable. I meant that once you know what the story is, you can just basically follow through. But no, the story does have quite a few twists and turns, as you would expect from a Masala Zindabad feature.
I'd like to kind of talk about what some of those are, but I don't want to be spoilery. What do you think? Should we mention a few of them?
Listen, it's been about 40 years since this movie came out. I think that ship has sailed. I'm sorry if anybody is out there hoping not to be spoiled, but if you are, then this is a good time to switch off your player.
It's true. So one of the things I love is that the film uses imagination a couple of times to show you what somebody's thinking is thinking, but they do it so subtly sometimes that at least for me, maybe this is a subtitle thing, but it took me a second to catch on that I was watching something that wasn't really happening. And that I feel like for a sort of on the surface candy colored, you know, romantic movie that doesn't happen maybe very often, because these are significant differences from what's really happening. So for example, you have a scene where, and honestly, I cannot recount to you exactly what is happening in the scene because I can't figure it out. There's a scene where Shashi is so full of despair that he's like drunk himself into a hospital bed, and he's in the, like, Iftikhar is his commander and has like made him stay in bed in the army base or whatever, which is of course in a beautiful mountainous woods. And he thinks he hears the twin he loves in the forest singing one of their love songs, but then it's not entirely clear if that's really her or it's the other twin dressed up as another one, but she's also sort of dressed as a hybrid of the two. That's one of the things I think is great about this film, is it's playing with this concept of traditional versus modern woman and things like that. And there's a point at which they kind of merge, so that she's wearing a sari, but she's wearing an extremely glitzy sort of, you could wear this to the nightclub kind of sari, I think, right? And like lots of jewelry and stuff, which the simple twin would not do because she's more, you know, homespun, and that the bad twin wouldn't do because she wears miniskirts, not saris. So it's like you can't even tell which identity he's supposed to be thinking about. And it's also not clear, is this really happening? Is he hallucinating it? Or, you know, it does that a lot. And I find that really, it trips me up in a way that I enjoy.
So one of the things that I really like about this movie, to take off on a tangent on what you just said, is the fact that throughout this movie, everybody is really in favor of the modern girl. And it's not just Shashi. Like, Shashi is obviously, you know, like you would expect a young man to come across a beautiful young woman who's like very modern and then be attracted to her. But during the movie, you also see all these people that come to, they're trying to get an arranged marriage for the quiet twin. So all these families come to take a look at the prospective bride, and they all reject Kanchan in favor of Kamini once they get a look at Kamini. And Kamini is like the complete opposite of the perfect Bollywood bahu. Like, she's, you know, she's dressed in Western clothes. It's very clear that she's very social and she's very independent. She goes off on these holidays with her friends. There's a scene where she's like swimming in the pool, like, and it's also suggested, and then it becomes explicit later, that she's had a boyfriend or two. So she is presented as desirable not only by Shashi, but also by the mothers of young men to whom Kanchan might be getting married to. And to me, that's really what sets Sharmili apart in terms of like portrayal of what womanhood ought to be, for like a very short period of time, because of course this is a movie that was made in 1971. So it ends with Kanchan being revealed as being, you know, virtuous, whereas Kamini is a slut. But
she's not just, I think actually, I mean, she is, but also she's actually a national traitor.
And yeah.
That's, I think, what's more bad.
Which to me, it was like, so there's, you know, there is a movie here, like if you took away the Bollywood trappings, I'm sorry, not the Bollywood trappings, but the masala trappings, then there is a movie that you could have made in which it's about sisterly rivalry and, you know, why do some people just want everything when they don't really need to go that extra mile and so on and so forth. But I think that movie was made later on in the 90s as Aina, when you had like that Amrita Singh, Juhi Chawla, Jackie Shroff movie. But which did very well, if I remember correctly. Like, I don't think anyone was paying attention to the collections back then. But if I remember correctly, like, it did respectable business, and it was a pretty enjoyable movie. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah, but you know, like, when the twist comes in this movie, and Kamini is revealed to be a sort of like. So Damini is sort of like Mona Darling, and Kanchan is like Dr. Doolittle. Like, so the one of the things that Kanchan does is like basically she just sort of like talks more easily to animals or to like birds and things rather than to human beings, whereas like Kamini is out there socializing with actual people, which is why they keep falling in love with her.
I think that's actually one of the great little nuggets in here, because on first glance, Kanchan is so shy that she's basically pathological.
Yeah.
She cannot interact with people, and it would be, I mean, it's considered a real burden. It's not like she's shy in that cute way that Bollywood likes to do, or that, you know, society likes women to do in general. She's actually afraid, I think. But she's really good with animals, and not domesticated animals, woodland animals. So she's got that kind of Snow White-ish kind of thing happening, but it shows that she has the ability to make connections. It's not that she's a loner, she's just afraid of people, which is a problem, but she's not, you know, it gives her a relatable side, I think, because these aren't even, I mean, this is another reason I put this on the sort of 70s masala cusp, is that you get all these great animal friends, they don't actually do anything to solve the problem in the story or, you know, track down a killer or anything, but they are Anna pals in their own in their own way.
And one of the things that stands out about Kamini is that she is, when you first see her, you don't really see her display any sort of animosity towards Kanchan. Like, she's dismissive. She clearly like looks down upon her sister, and she thinks there's something wrong with her sister. But it's not malice. Like, it doesn't seem like she's angry or she's devious or she's forcing her sister into becoming this person. And then all of a sudden, you know, she decides she wants Shashi. And I don't really know why she decides that within, like, up to what we know of her in that movie till then, because she definitely wasn't pining over him the way that he was pining over her. And then afterwards,
she's pretty into him in their first meeting, though, remember?
Yeah, I mean, but
in the army base.
Yes, but I also feel like she's the kind of girl who, I mean, come on, like, if you see Shashi and Shashi's like making eyes at you and singing you a pretty song, anybody would be into Shashi at that point. But you know, like, after that, like, when she leaves, you see Shashi, and Shashi just can't get her out of his mind. Like, he's really into her. But you see her, and she's back, and, you know, she's not even thinking about him. Like, there's nothing to suggest that he left as deep an impression upon her as she did upon him.
And one of the things that's interesting about that is that, so this hero is, he also has some sort of dualities in him. So he's a soldier, and he's a poet. Right. He's a, you know, he is some kind of like amazing investigative whatever guy, but he's also a complete dupe because he gets fooled by the switch in which twin is which at times too. And I think that's pretty fascinating to have a hero who is so, he's not very heroic, frankly, in a lot of places. The movie is not as concerned with him as it is with the two women.
No, he is very hot, and he's a complete jerk. That is another one of the dualities in this movie. So, okay, let's talk about Shashi and his character. So, it's funny because, like, he is just as sappy and sentimental, Like, he's like the perfect counterfoil to Kanchan, because they're like the same level of sappy, I feel. It's just that he's more socialized and he can actually have a conversation with people. But one of the things that I was thinking about in relation to Shashi is, you know, like we were talking about how this is a comfort movie, and obviously longtime listeners will know that that Beth and I are absolute Shashi fanatics. But when you look at some of the movies that he's done, especially movies like this, the ones that we've watched over and over again, you kind of wonder why you are a fan of his, because he's such a jerk face. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, he does not, yeah, his characters can be pretty reprehensible. And I have a little rule for myself, which is that as soon as you hear a Shashi Kapoor character say, "Is it?" you have to run right now. And I don't think he actually uses that word in this movie, but it would be similar.
So I think there's a conversation to be had about, like, stardom and what exactly is it that makes you love somebody, even though they are absolutely reprehensible. So Shashi's done a whole bunch of movies that just make you want to slap him across the face, to be honest. But even then...
They're mostly from this period and earlier.
Yeah.
In the 70s, he plays characters who are a lot more likable for people like us.
But this is also, like, when he's, like, you know, like, really pretty. Like, he's not that manly beautiful that he becomes in the 70s, but he's, like, you know, he's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And very boyish. And I guess, like, boyishness and the Kapoor genes are a really bad mix, because all the boyish Kapoors are sort of insufferable.
Can we talk about the clothes for a second?
Oh my God.
Because I don't even have words to describe how much I love the wardrobe in this movie. Yeah. And it helps that, you know, we have two Rocky characters plus the times when you're not sure which one of them it is, or one of them's pretending to be the other. It's just this explosion of you know, candy shop pastel colors and big updos, and then you get some sort of vampy outfits at times, and it's just so stylish.
Yeah, and Shashi always looks amazing in a uniform, so well done there.
I will note that this film is one of those where it's just like, okay, everyone who's playing a soldier, just grab whatever you have that's closest to khaki and wear it, because they are not uniforms. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but, you know, Rocky is... yeah, she's like a little doll. She's like a China doll that's like dressed up in a sari. She's so pretty. She's got the early 70s, late 60s makeup thing going on, where, you know, your eyeliner is basically somewhere in your hairline. And you have the little beehive, and then... yeah, and then she has, like, all those little saris. So when, you know, you can always tell, especially in earlier Hindi films, like, what stage of their career a certain actress is at by their costume. Like, not so much the quality of their costume, but how much of it is there. So there's, like, a couple of, like... So Ranjit, like, it's, you know, there's a... Ranjit is... Kamini's ex-boyfriend, who then later becomes her boyfriend. Like, he sort of negotiates his way back into her life, which is when she goes, like, full-on evil. But there is a strong suggestion that she was raped by Ranjit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was that subtext or was that text?
No, he attempts to rape her and she bashes him on the head with a rock, remember?
Right, but then she has the accident.
For that, also perhaps it's not entirely clear.
Yeah,
he certainly talks to her as though they have had relations.
Right,
but and, also it's Ranjit, so who can tell?
Yeah, and then there's like a scene at the end where, you know, like Shashi's begun to suspect that Kamini is up to no good. And the way they can prove that she's up to no good is through the scar on her back. And what he basically does is, like, rips her blouse open, and then he smacks her around.
Yeah. It's so easy to forget about that with all the other stuff that's happening. But yeah, it's,
So this is like one of the things that Bollywood does really well, right? Like it sort of hides all these bits of violence and normalizes it. And then you kind of just sort of go along with it and you're just so dazzled by all the other things that are going on that you kind of forget. And then you stop and you think about it and you're just like, what was that?
And then you post about it on Twitter and people say, thanks for ruining my childhood.
I mean, your childhood was ruined way before we came along.
this is the film that I don't know how popular it was when it came out. I have no idea. I suspect that the songs helped it do quite well. I don't know that, but it's not a film that I hear people talking about very much except for when we've made them watch it. So I'm hoping that this podcast will help people be tempted to watch it and talk about it, because I think it's just such an interesting movie that I can't name you another film like this, and I've seen quite a few films from this particular era, that is so sort of squishy romantic in some ways, or at least on the surface, but is actually much, much, much more complicated and violent, as you're saying, and has characters that are not at all one note. Like, I mean, Ranjit's a little bit one note, I would say, but the three lead characters are way more complicated than they probably are given any kind of credit for being. So I hope people will watch this and talk about it with us.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of everything in this movie. There is romance, there's melodrama, there's espionage, there's...
there's a fight on an exploding airplane.
Yes, and there's, you know, she jumps out of the plane in a sari and a parachute, like the way you do. And there is evil sisters, there's... blackmailing parents. There is Izzat.
Right.
Yeah.
The mother. Well, she's so bad.
Yeah.
there's an amazing daydream that I don't want to talk about because I'm going to put it in another project that Amrita is dreaming up. But oh yeah, yeah. just kind of luxuriate in what it looks and sounds like while you enjoy the rug getting yanked out from under you as it, you know, kind of takes each of these people. It lets each of these three characters change over the course of the film, which again, you know, that's not always all that common. One of them changes for the worse, but two of them change for the better, which is, it's pretty exciting.
So I would watch Sharmeeli as a double bill with Blackmail, which is another movie from this same period, and it has Rocky in it, which is a formula film. I love formula films. So, you know, you can have like a 1-2 punch of an espionage and a formula film. So, yeah.
And when you say formula film, you mean a film about a formula, not a film that's made by formula.
No, I mean, literally, there is a thing called a formula in this movie. I love Blackmail.
I would recommend that you watch this movie in a double feature with, I'm going to take it in the Shashi direction and put it with Agale Lakja, which we have talked about at length on this podcast, but is another of these things that has a sort of 60s vibe, but then is bridging over into the sort of 70s wackadoodle that we like so much.
Yeah. Basically, you could just watch this by yourself. You could watch this with your friends and family. You could watch it in shame. You could watch it in exhilaration. This is a movie that lends itself to so many different situations. It's very versatile. You can
watch it with your nearby woodland creatures.
Or, you know what? Valentine's Day is coming up. This is such a better movie than any 50 Shades of Grey business. So you could watch it with your bae. Right, so that was Masala Zindabad for today. Tune back in for some more comfort movies that we will be talking about. But up till then, my name is Amrita, and you can find me on Twitter @AmritaIQ.
And I'm Beth, and I'm at Beth Loves Bali on Twitter.